Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. This time we're going to the seaside to find out what's happening in the coastal markets. In this episode, we're heading to the coastal locations to see how they've been faring in this sultry summer of high temperatures and rising interest rates. What makes a location by the sea most attractive to buyers? The views of the sea and the walks on the beach in the wonderful air? Or the chance for long-term price appreciation? These areas were much in demand during the pandemic, but are they now considered less appealing? In fact, are the places by the sea that are most in demand now those which have the easiest commute to London 2 or 3 days a week? We're going to be looking at all these factors in the company of Dominic Agais, CEO of Winkworth, and of Simon Barnes of Winkworth, Muddiford and Highcliffe in Dorset, which, for those who don't know, are coastal villages near Christchurch and Bournemouth. Dominic and Simon, thanks for joining us. I note that you haven't got your buckets and spades, but we will forgive that one. First to you, Dominic. Are higher interest rates diminishing the allure of coastal location? Give us a sense of what the mood's like.
So I think coastal locations are very much in demand. And I think there's a sort of wider trend going on. And really that's come about since, I suppose, the world has turned a bit and currency's reduced. We've had Brexit and we've had the pandemic, and all of those have driven people to staycations and sort of refinding the glories of Britain. And I think it's the optimism of this English seaside town that appeals so much. Have interest rates had an effect? I think undoubtedly the effect really is that there's been a change since the immediate rush from the pandemic to where a lot of people felt that life was changing full time to working from home and seaside living. And there's been a bit of a reversion to a more hybrid model where people are required in the office, but perhaps not the times they were previously. So that does have an effect. And what we've seen in terms of our applicants is that they are 35% lower than this time last year. But that needs to be said in the context of being 23% ahead of 2019. So really it's finding its middle ground from a massive boom. And I think the allure of the coastal living is set to stay and grow. I mean, no more so than the reason that now people are keener, increasing trend keener to holiday at home, as people are less keen on flying and the environmental impact that that has.
That's interesting. You mention the environmental impact because looking into the future, could climate change in southern Europe make British seaside resorts even more attractive because the summers there will be more temperate?
And undoubtedly. I mean, I was recently on a British summer holiday in Suffolk, and it was the not only internationally competitive, but I live in London, and it was 33, 35 degrees in London, and it was a lovely 24 degrees with a breeze up in Suffolk. And that is basically the perfect weather, especially if you have a small child.
So it won't be Nice and Cannes anymore. It will be Brighton, Hove, and the other resorts?
I think so. I think it's, there have been trends over a long time. You know, many decades ago, travel and the sort of introduction of the train introduced seaside and coastal towns to city dwellers. And then we had the cheap flights and package deals that drew people to Spain and the south of France. And now we've seen, flights will be more expensive going forward. People will be more environmentally aware. And people have refound the sort of the corners and nooks of England. So I think the popularity is set to stay, albeit we've slightly passed the boom of the last post-pandemic rush.
Before I turn to Simon, can you just give us some idea of what the biggest risk to this market could be?
I suppose coastal erosion has to be up there. Sadly, in the place I went to in Suffolk, there's a house that my wife's grandparents had, and that disappeared into the sea last year. So, I mean, that is obviously a problem and a consideration when buying by the coast. And, you know, maintenance of sea defences is a challenge and can be a cost. So I think that those are costs. Beyond that, you know, I suppose I don't see too many challenges. I think transport is getting easier. I think the mood has changed. And I think we're set for a sort of period of time where people want to live by the sea. I mean, when you look at it, again, over long term, these little places like Polzeath in Cornwall or Thorpeness in Suffolk, people rent there for many years because, you know, they love going there. And so the opportunity in any market for a house that they want, if that comes up, that's an opportunity to be grabbed. And so I think they do pretty well in all times because there's a backlog of people who want to sort of buy that lifestyle.
And in buying that lifestyle, they buy almost an heirloom property, something that will stay in the family over the generations if coastal erosion doesn't get it first.
Yes, yeah, if coastal erosion doesn't get it first. No, exactly. I mean, I know some good friends of mine have, you know, again, grandparents' house. You know, it's a pebble dash bungalow with a sea view, and that's been passed down now. It's sort of to there, and then their children will take it on. And it's, you know, it's a treasured possession that's probably, you know, irreplaceable. And so because, you know, planning is such and the coastline is only the coastline, so they are fairly irreplaceable things once you have them.
I think we're in the mood now to talk a lot more about the seaside. So I'm moving over to you now, Simon. Now, you're from the Winkworth office in Mudderford and Highcliffe. Can you tell us about this part of Dorset? Can you just tell us where it is in relation to the places we might know?
Yeah,
and
sure.
What is its key importance?
Sure. Well, our two offices are in Highcliffe and Mudderford, so they're a mile and a half apart. It's a very beautiful part of the world, and it links beautifully coast and country. If you were to stand on the clifftop of Christchurch Bay, you would have, not very far behind you, you would have the New Forest, and you'd be looking out over Christchurch Bay towards the Isle of Wight and the Needles. And the other way, you'd be looking across Hengistbury Head to the Purbecks. So it really is quite stunning. Great towns in the locality as well. Lymington, Bournemouth, which is now a tremendous student hub. Salisbury, and tremendous train links to London Waterloo, where I live in Barton-on-Sea, which was actually the front feature of the new J Blades Beach Hut programme. The first hut was on the beach at the end of my road. Literally the nearest train station to there is New Milton, which is 5 minutes away. And you can get literally up. You could be in a hotel in Tottenham Court Road in practically 2 hours on the nose, which is pretty impressive.
I think you're selling us this part of the world. I want to know what it would cost to move there or to buy a second place there. Price of a flat, say.
To have one bedroom flats, entry level, around £175,000.
A family house?
A family house. If you were looking for something in Friars Cliff, which is the prime family house area right in between of the epicentre of Highcliffe and Mudderford, people love that area because it's lovely 30s houses on great plots, very near the beach. And crucially with Friars Cliff, it's so popular because it's A, it's very attractive, and B, you don't have to cross a main road to get to the beach. One of those houses, 2,000 feet plus, £1 million would get you something very nice, and they go up from there.
Does a beach hut ever come up for sale?
Well, as I was saying to Dominic just before we started, we probably sell more beach huts than any other agent on Avon Beach. Of course, I've got to say that, but we do. Avon Beach, which overlooks Hengistbury Head, which is the very expensive part, which is actually part of our Southbourne franchises area because it's on the other side of the harbour. But Avon Beach, lovely. The best frontline huts there go for £120,000. A little bit further up where the boardwalk narrows and it's a bit more congested, £80,000 to £100,000. And if you wanted, there are some second line beach huts which look over the back of the front line, and they're 50 to 60.
So the prime beach hut is about the same as a one-bedroom flat?
Not far off. Yeah, not far off. One interesting factor we do find, a pretext for people moving to the area. Lots of people we find, and our core market is many people from Greater London, they buy a beach hut or even have a park home first. And they get to know the area. In a way, it's a little bit like try before you buy. So they've got friends or family, they have a beach hut, they have a park home, and that encourages them to make the move down at some stage when their kids are a bit older or when they're retired or whatever.
So when they approach you, what do you think is uppermost in buyers' minds? The lure of life by the beach or the potential for long-term appreciation?
100%, I have to say, lifestyle. Obviously, investment and protecting your money and your hard-earned asset is incredibly important. But the real driver is lifestyle. People want more space. Myself, you know, I'm from Bournemouth originally, but I lived in London for 20 years. Now I live down there and I appreciate how beautiful it is. I've got three dogs. I go paddleboarding. You know, I never used to do that when I lived in London. The odd pedalo in Hyde Park, perhaps. Yeah. But, you know, it's definitely lifestyle.
So when they come to your part of the world, where do you think they might also be looking? I mean, are they just in love with the idea of the coast or your particular part of it?
The answer to that is certainly in our line of work, we're not just selling the actual properties, we're selling the area. And because we have so many people from outside of the area who don't know it, we talk to them, frankly, even more in many cases about what's around and what they can do and what they can see, you know, and the property is a secondary thing. So, yeah, there's so much around there and there's so much new people to the area won't know about. Things like BBC Springwatch, which is in Arne Bay, really not very far away from us at all, obviously puts a real spotlight on the area. And we've actually had people calling us talking about that. Have you got anything over in the Purbex? You know, but it's a little bit too far away for us to service. That's actually something we need to talk about, Dominic. Maybe get an office over in Lulworth or something, you know.
So the lure of the southwest, that whole gorgeous coastline.
Yeah.
Have you got nice restaurants where you are?
Well, we actually, again, when I moved down from London, I thought, gosh, you know, but we do. We really, really do. Very close to our Muddiford office, we've got the Christchurch Harbour Hotel. Which years ago, it used to be called the Avonmouth, but actually it was the first harbour hotel, which is now actually a very prolific hotel group. They have one in Richmond, London. They have one in Salcombe, Fowey. And the restaurant there is fantastic. It's called the Upper Deck. And you can sit on the deck and look. And it has a sister restaurant in the same hotel called the Jetty, which I think years ago Gary Rhodes was the chef patron there. And it has that standard. It's superb. And we really do. We have some great places to eat. We have the Chewton Glen Hotel, funnily enough, at the other end of my road, which is Relais and Chateau. It's incredible. A little bit further away, there's Limewood in the New Forest. And the Pig Hotel in the New Forest as well as wonderful pubs and cafes. So we really are spoilt for choice.
Dominic, I have to ask, the seaside hotspots, where are they?
Well, I think they're the traditional spots, aren't they, in terms of the long-established traditional seaside holiday-going venues. So somewhere like Polzeath, I think prices in Polzeath are sort of 71% higher than they are just a mile away in the same county. So there's obviously Salcombe, where your average property sold for 1.3 million last year. Bearing in mind, London was average property sold for 750. Mm-hmm. There's Southwold in my sort of my neck of woods in Suffolk, which has a wonderful Daxon Parade, where the average property price was 860,000 sold last year. So, and there are many more. There's everyone has their own little part of England that they grew up going to. And I think those are the hot spots and everyone will have the one that they hold close to their heart.
So wherever it is, it's hot.
It's hot.
Now, I feel as if we're all at a great beach party here. I'm sorry, guys, if I didn't bring along the ice creams, the picnic basket, etc. But look, Simon, we're in a tricky time. Do you think that this party could end if interest rates go up a lot more?
My honest thought, I think next year has the potential to be quite a challenging year. There's no question, and I'm sure Dominic, I know Dominic agrees with me, whenever you see interest rate rises on top of one another, that has an effect on transaction levels, inevitably, 100%. We are very fortunate in our area that a big part of our market consists of retirees. And going back to what we were discussing earlier, they want the right property. Their money is safe. They're set up so that they are very, very well insulated from turbulence caused by interest rates and market changes. So we have, certainly in our local market, we have that safety net to a point. But yeah, it of course it's a concern. Interest rates equal hardship when they go up.
Now, we're going to try and get a bit more personal. Your dream home. First to you, Simon. Mm. A house in a London garden square or a house overlooking the sea, what would be your choice?
This is a very good question for me, because I'll tell you the answer first. The answer would be overlooking the sea. However, my flat in London was in Cornwall Gardens off Gloucester Road, and I loved that flat. But my dream home would, at my stage of life, be something overlooking the sea.
Tell us why you would buy by the sea.
I love the beach. It's very cathartic looking at the sea, and I love walking the dogs on there, having a barbecue down there sometimes. You know, I grew up in Bournemouth. I have a real affinity with the beach. So it would be overlooking the beach.
Over to you, Dominic. I've given you some time to think about this. Gorgeous London garden square or house by the sea?
Well, despite being a sort of Londoner throughout life, born and bred Londoner, I think it has to be the house by the sea. I've recently been going fairly frequently to Thorpe Ness in Suffolk, and it's a pretty magical spot. It doesn't have the sandy beaches, actually, but perhaps that's why it's not too busy at any time of year. But it has a nice shacks run by the fishermen on the beach where you can get your crab and lobster, and a sort of mere for the little ones where they can go out in rowing boats with a little pub beside it for a refreshment afterwards. And really, I think it's the lifestyle that I love there quite so much. Clearly, a dip in the North Sea can be a bit challenging, but it is refreshing. And so I think that would be my spot by the sea.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. I feel as if I'd been by the sea while we've been recording this, and I hope that everybody listening feels the same way too. And I think we've really got a better picture of this particular part of the property market. If you've been listening, do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast, when we'll be looking at another hot topic in residential property.
This has been the Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.